So much excitement in New York City. Wow, we get to kill our babies now. Everybody smile, applause. Why not light up the Empire State Building pink in a celebratory color? What? It's coming hours away. A Polar Express. Oh, it's going to be cold. Record setting here in the Midwest. They sent more armament to arrest 66-year-old Roger Stone in the middle of the night than they sent to Benghazi. America, it's not racist. Anyone who says otherwise wants to keep us divided. The easiest way to maintain power over any group is to keep those within it at war with one another. Hello, world. It's a Monday. I'm Greg Patton. How is it in your neck of the woods? We've got news, information, lots of comments as always, and the Word of God doesn't get any better right after this. Okay, am I coming or am I going or story of my life here in Fort Wayne, pastoring the church, running a business, doing counseling, hours spent with a Christian radio program. Oh, I love that. Oh, but my, I'm on vacation. Oh, kinda. Working vacation in Tri-Cities, Tennessee, going down for Share-a-thon. Here, the spring Share-a-thon at the end of February at WHCB 91.5. I love those people. Ken Hill, one of my favorite men in all the world. So it's going to happen the last couple of days, February, first part of March. And, well, I've got something nailed down over the weekend. By Faith, Free Will Baptist Church. And another good Christian brother, Randy English, and his wife, Gail. Oh, they treat me like gold. We're going to be with them in Johnson City. By Faith, Free Will Baptist Church. And then something new, Elizabethton, Tennessee. First Free Will Baptist Church. Kind of excited to be meeting some new people there as well. Ah, things are starting to roll. We'll be in Tennessee before you know it, and I can't wait to minister the Word of God to you and yours. Come on over and see us at Elizabethton and Johnson City. Gonna be a great time. We'll give you more details later. Well, as a happy grandpa, how exciting it is to play with the grandkids. I often tease, why couldn't God give us the grandkids first? And, well, you know how that goes. Mila, one of my favorites, and the newest in the house here. Mila Sloan. What a beautiful... She loves her grandpa, and grandpa reciprocates. But looking into that smiling face, I saw it just seconds after she was born. She's a year old now. You know what? According to the new law in New York, that smiling face, that baby born at 12:05 this morning, could have been destroyed, murdered at 12:04. That's the new law on abortion in New York. And then they paint the Empire State Building pink, and there's celebration and laughter and applause that women can now murder their babies in New York. What in the world is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Jesus is coming soon, my friend. What an absolute travesty. New York is sick. The political leaders very ill mentally. And a couple of stories just the opposite of New York. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, with a smile on her face, signed one of the country's most restrictive abortion bills into law last Friday. The so-called heartbeat legislation bans abortion once a fetal heartbeat has been detected. That's about 6 weeks of pregnancy. Exceptions made for rape, incest, or medical emergency. Republican state lawmakers worked late into the night this week to push the measure forward. During Tuesday's debate in the State House, Representative Sandy Salmon said, "Well, a baby has become something we can throw away. The bill says it's time to change the way we think about the unborn life." Well, I would certainly think so. The bill passed the State House on Tuesday and the State Senate early Wednesday. Then it landed on Reynolds' desk. "I understand that not everyone is going to agree with this," said the governor. "But if death is determined when a heart stops beating, then doesn't a beating heart indicate life? For me, it's immoral." Oh, operative word, perfect word. It's immoral to stop an innocent beating heart. Wow. What's happening in Alabama? The Alabama Supreme Court has ruled that a wrongful death lawsuit brought by a woman who claims her doctor caused her to have a miscarriage by administering an abortion-inducing drug can now proceed. Kimberly Stenich's usual doctor was reportedly out for the day on her appointment, Carla Kennedy, the doctor who was filling in that fateful day, believed that Stinnett had an ectopic pregnancy since she'd had one before. Thus, Kennedy decided to administer a drug that, as the court noted, is intended to cause the end of a pregnancy. However, when Stinnett's usual doctor, William Huggins, examined her pregnancy via ultrasound, he found that Stinnett did not have that kind of pregnancy after all, but instead had a normal pregnancy. He said that Stinnett's pregnancy was now doomed to fail, however, quite possibly from that drug, I would think so. A few weeks later, suffered a miscarriage. She took her case against Kennedy to court, alleging that the doctor had unnecessarily ended a viable pregnancy. The initial court dismissed the case, but when Stinnett appealed her case to the Alabama Supreme Court, it was ruled that her case stands a must to be heard in the lower court. Alabama Supreme Court rules the unborn baby is, indeed, a person. Well, read your Bible. Well, it was a pretty good interview last night on CBS's 60 Minutes. Howard Schultz, former head of Starbucks, became a billionaire, I mean, from the ground up, and he's going to run as an independent, perhaps, for president of the United States. Meanwhile, the current president, Donald Trump, ripped into him, saying the businessman, the titan, doesn't have enough guts to run for president. Watched him last night, and I agree with him. He is not the smartest person. Besides, America has that. I only hope that Starbucks is still paying me their rent in Trump Tower, he said. Whoa! In the interview last night, Schultz said he was considering mounting an independent bid there. A businessman, a Democrat, blasted his party and the GOP for what he called a reckless failure of constitutional responsibility, and he targeted the president's social media habits. I think, like most people, I've become bored with President Trump and his tweets. Oh, you know the Donald isn't going to let that one go by. What's the number now? How many people are already running for president of the United States? It's just going to be a wild ride. More news right after this. You know, the Bible provides an accurate account of the Heavenly Father's character, his actions and purposes. Together, the Old Testament and the New Testament teach us of man's problem being sin, and the only remedy is faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Throughout the Bible, we learn what happens at the moment of our salvation. Our sin's penalty is reckoned as paid. Its power over us is broken, and the Holy Spirit becomes our daily companion. Isn't that exciting? Through His Holy Word, God has entrusted to us the knowledge of who He is and what He's doing, and how the future will unfold for mankind. You can have confidence in that. The Scriptures were intended to lead us into a growing personal relationship with the Father and to empower us for fruitful service as Christ's ambassador. That's you. The Father's will includes a certain task for each of His children to accomplish. In meditating on scriptural principles and examples, we're going to be able to discern what He has in mind for us today. Just as Jesus' work was to do His Father's will, that's our calling, too. The man suspected in two shootings left five people dead in Louisiana over the weekend has been arrested in the great state of Virginia. Police officials said in a statement that 21-year-old Dakota Therio was arrested Sunday by Richmond County Sheriff's officers there in Virginia. Among those dead, his girlfriend, allegedly. Her parents, and a brother. What in the world? He traveled from Louisiana. Half asleep when they captured him, he pulled into his grandma's driveway and the police were waiting on him. Is it my imagination, or does this seem to be happening nearly every day? You hear a story very similar. This is a crazy new America. Well, this probably won't surprise too many people. After the longest partial government shutdown in U.S. history, 60% of Americans believe that this country is headed in the wrong direction, and nearly 70% of them have negative opinions on the state of our nation today. That according to the, NBC News and Wall Street Journal poll. They're always right. Wrong track, disarray, turmoil, polarized concern. Where do they get the... Anyway, those are some of the answers given by respondents asked to sum up their feelings on the state of America. Times are grim. So say the Democrats and their pollster Peter Hart. They never talk to me about any of this stuff. How about you? Where do they find these people? Awful, awful mess in America. Bah, humbug. Why was only CNN there to record the happenings? Is all of these FBI agents and enough armament to do war? Go to a 66-year-old man's house in the middle of the morning to arrest him after he already said all they had to do is contact him or his attorney, and he would have turned himself in. Talking about Roger Stone, Donald Trump's confidant. He may be accused of lying and tampering with witnesses, but it's equally notable what he's not charged with. Colluding with the Kremlin in a grand conspiracy to help Trump win President of the United States. The case is the latest in a series brought by Special Counsel Robert Mueller that focuses on cover-ups but lays out no underlying crimes. It's a familiar pattern in Washington, where scandals from Watergate to the Iran-Contra to Whitewater have mushroomed into presidency imperiling affairs due to the efforts to conceal and mislead in this great country. I don't know what's going on half the time, do you? No wonder people are just gone crazy with all of this stuff. Just want to tune it out. Get back to life. Oh, and all the news, media-wise, the last couple of weeks, somehow the Sundance Festival. Yeah? So what? Doesn't the Bible say something about calling good evil and evil good? I'm just reading an article here, very positive about the Satanic Temple and Satanism, and it's interesting. They say, let's get a few things out of the way about the Satanic Temple, the religious activist group at the center of an excellent documentary, Hail Satan, which rapturously premiered Friday afternoon at the Sundance Film Festival. First, members of the Satanic Temple don't actually worship Satan. They don't even believe in Satan. They want nothing to do with murders and child abuse attributed to Satanism during the Satanic Panic, as it was called in the 1980s. Their only human sacrifices are tremendous sacrifices of their own time in the name and the good of humanity. They revel in shock value. Their headquarters painted black in Salem, Massachusetts, home of the witch trials, and may be best known for a legal fight with Netflix's The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. But their core belief that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It isn't some kooky thing they invented. It's in line with the First Amendment. That, Greg Patton talking now, is ridiculous and nonsense and in itself satanic. Give me a break. What did you say, Lord? He that is not with me is, don't believe in Satan, and they're just trying to help the good of humanity, and what a bunch of gobbledygook. Don't buy it, my Christian friend. It's all a satanic lie. Oh, here's something I missed. Could Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat from California, somehow be generating more early buzz than former President Barack Obama did 10 years ago? If attendance is any indication, the answer could be yes. The California senator officially entered the 2020 fray on Sunday with a speech outside Oakland City Hall. Harris's press secretary tweeted that more than 20,000 people showed up for the event. Isn't that wonderful? And we need to really batten down the hatches. A surge of Arctic air is about to bring parts of the Midwest and the coldest temperature in decades by the middle of this week, as part of what they call the polar vortex, is set to just blast our area with dangerously cold temperatures. Wind chill here midweek could get to, oh, you're kidding, 40 below zero. Okay, that does it. Coming into the studio midweek, then I'll have on my long underwear, the heated socks, and some of these new things I just got. You break them apart and they warm your hands. Oh, my. Coming up, I'm looking for a better country. How about you? Right after this. The Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Greg Patton Ministries. And, of course, where would we be without this station? Caring Hello World every day at this time. News, information, and comment from a pastor. 31 years here in the same church. and doing some form of news since 12 years of age. I love to share information with folks. I love especially to give them the good news of Jesus Christ, how to be saved and how to live for Jesus. It's all a part of the broadcast each day at this time. We appreciate you listening and telling others about the program and encouraging others to join us on Facebook at Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. And we will never forget those of you that financially sacrifice monthly to keep us going. Thank you so very much. A reminder, we're going to be in the Tri-City area of Tennessee coming up in February. We ought to get together then, my friend. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has set eternity in our hearts. There is deep within each one of us the desire to live forever. Oh, yeah. Even those who feel suicidal thoughts would gladly choose to live forever if their life were more pleasant or more fulfilling somewhere along the line. You know, history is rich with stories of men lacking hope of eternal life who went to extreme measures to live forever. Those who possessed faith turned to their heavenly Father for immortality. The book of Hebrews reminds us that the Old Testament saints looked forward in faith to God's assurance of life after death. They welcomed the promise of the resurrection, and they all experienced the same feeling of being strangers and exiles on this earth. That which their souls most longed for was not to be found in this world, and they knew it. What they were really looking for, what the writer called a better country, a heavenly one, Hebrews 11:16. But in and of itself, that would not be good news. Having a deep yearning for a better country would be good news only on what one condition, which the writer reveals in the second half of the verse. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, which they hoped for. God had every intention of giving them. In the book of Job, chapter 19, you will read, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth, even after my skin is destroyed. Yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me." The resurrection, the coming of Jesus Christ, a hope only imagined and cherished even in the Old Testament days. But in the New Testament, life beyond the grave is a hope personified in Jesus Christ. Job's Redeemer is our Redeemer, and also the first man to be resurrected from the dead into the newness of life that is glorified humanity. We often emphasize, I think rightly so, that Jesus came to die and give his life a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. But ultimately, the purpose of his life wasn't to provide a death, even an eternally consequential death. No, he came to procure life, eternal life. Our Lord's purpose went far beyond simply providing forgiveness for our sins. He looked forward to the eternal life that we were being prepared for the eternal life he enjoyed with his Father. That life was lost in the Garden of Eden. The life that, until sin entered the human race, we had always been intended to live. It was life without corruption, without end, without pain, without sorrow, without suffering. Doesn't that sound good? It was a life lived with God forever. When Jesus walked the earth, he did not focus entirely on his eventual and certain sacrificial death. Hebrews reminds us that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Death and sin have a shelf life. Eternal life with God does not. Yet, you know, even heaven would be nothing more than a promise of a glorified vacation were it not for the assurance of eternity. Any life, no matter how wonderful, cannot satisfy our deepest longings. We long to live forever in our present life, but it's only in eternity that our souls can truly be satisfied, because eternity leaves time for just everything. We stress so hard and push ourselves so much in this human life, and it's so short. We often unwittingly try to cram eternity into 70 or 80 years. At the chiropractor every day this week, you know, and he stretched out his arms as far as he could. 80 years, that's basically the average, Pastor. And I said, "Yeah." And then he put a hand real close together and he said, "You're 71, right? You only have this much time left." He's right. We marvel at the composure of our Lord, who gave himself only 3 years to accomplish the great task of redemption. He was never pressed or hurried because his eyes never shifted from eternity. We were created for eternity. We were made in the image of God, who is an eternal being. 1,000,000 years isn't long enough to experience the life God designed for you. So what is it here on earth you don't feel you have time for? What ambitions have you put on the shelf? What opportunities were you denied? What limitations did you struggle with? What inequality hindered your progress? The answer in these disappointments shouldn't be anger or bitterness or disillusionment or sadness. The answer is eternity. A human life cut short by sin was never intended to be all the time God will allow us to fulfill the potential he created in us. Much of the stress and regret of modern life is found in the necessity of choosing how and where we're going to spend this short time on earth. Remember the story of Lazarus? He was raised really only to a temporary human life here. As Jesus was demonstrating his power over death, Lazarus would die again, and at some point would still need to be resurrected to eternal life. So do you have that promise, my friend? A hint of life in a better country? Being given the gift of eternity means that you will never cease to be. Wow! Death is only the end of your physical body's sin-shortened existence on this old place called Earth. That little itsy-bitsy time will be over here for you, and it's going to be time then to begin the rest of your life forever. That. And how about this making good a bad situation? He first noticed a little fuzziness in his eye in June. Josh Bangert, 15 years old. His vision just continued to worsen, however. Went to an eye doctor. Thought maybe it was something minor. It wasn't. A rare genetic disorder called Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy. Leber's disease. He'll be blind in 3 to 5 months. His attitude, I'm going for it. Trying to see the United States of America before his vision is gone. Do something, my friend. What if your vision was going to be gone in 3 to 5 months? We have so much to be grateful for today. Well, I was excited to tell you last week that we were surprised with a newer used car last week. A McDonald's employee in South Hutchinson, Kansas, received a life-changing gift from one of the customers earlier this month. And her priceless reaction was caught on camera. Vicki Anderson, who works at the McDonald's drive-in, told regular customer Chris Ellis that her car had broken down. After hearing that Anderson didn't have a way to get to and from work, Ellis devised a plan. He and his son Josh had been planning to sell Josh's car, but decided they were just going to give it to this woman instead. They surprised the stunned employee with a free car at work one day, and the McDonald's manager, Denise Pennick, just captured the whole thing. You remember talking to me the other day, Ellis asked Anderson in the video about a car. Well, here's the title, and here's the keys, Ellis said as he walks Anderson outside and hands her the keys to the car. She looks absolutely shocked and immediately began hugging the man and his son. Oh, there are some good people out there. I hope you're one of them. Have you done any good for others recently? Hey, one of the best ways to be good to others is to tell them about Jesus Christ and how you call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Have you done that personally? Maybe we start with you, huh? Ask God to forgive you of your sins today and accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and this Monday will be the greatest day of your life. Can it be? It's over already. Another edition of Hello World News, Information, and Comment coming your way every day at this time, Monday through Friday. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling others. Like us on Facebook. Many of you have. I love it. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. So good to be here with you. Thank you. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless you. Have a great Monday.